Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, best-selling author Brad Meltzer returns to the show to talk about his new book, The Viper. Arbor Circle hosts its fifth annual Growing Together event. We get a preview. The Roving Mike was on the grounds of the Grand Rapids Rise training camp. We hear what it was like. We talk about a partnership between the Grand Rapids Promise Zone and the Grand Rapids Chamber called Career Pathways. And January is National Ski Safety Awareness Month.
He's a best-selling author. He's a Michigan grad, and he's Brad Meltzer. Be careful what you wish for, Brad, because you're out with your latest, The Viper, sharing your research about the government's witness protection program, military mortuaries, care for our vets, and more. So once again, Brad, good morning to you.
So good to be back.
I say once again because that's a compliment, and I look forward to saying that again. Many books that you've penned under your talents, and now we bring you back with The Viper, which is a Zig and Nola novel. Was it meant to be the bigger and best so far, Brad?
Of course it is. It has to be, but for anyone who's wondering, you don't have to read any of the other books for it. There's a quote on the cover by best-selling author Alex McLeodis that says, "This is the perfect place to meet Zig and Nola," and I really wanted it to be a book you could just pick up and, you know, it's about family secrets and things that are hidden. And I was like, I want people to be able to go from page one.
Very, very nice. All right. What's your storyline with this edition entitled The Viper?
It's very simple. A man walks into a funeral home carrying his favorite blue suit. He's got a terminal disease and this is the suit he wants to be buried in. But here's the thing, Shelley, is if you go to your local bank and you open up a safety deposit box, the government can track it because paperwork is filed. They can see it. Mm. Same thing if you go to the UPS store and you open up a PO box. But if you secretly sew something into the lining of your suit and you hand that suit over to your local mortician, you have the ultimate untraceable hiding spot. So from there, the man goes back to his hotel room. There's a guy with a gun waiting who says, "Where is it?" "I don't know what you're talking about," the man says. The guy shoots the man dead, but you won't believe what's still hidden in that suit or who's about to find it. And that is chapter one of The Viper.
I can't wait to get to the final chapter, but we won't give that away. It's called The Viper, learning the inside secrets about the witness protection program, I trust is one of your goals, Brad.
It really was. You know, I've done the secret tunnels below the White House. I've done the hidden labyrinth below the U.S. Capitol. I've done even the tunnels below Disney World in my thrillers. But it was nothing like trying to get into witness protection. And when we think of witness protection, what do we think of? We think of all these mobsters, right? Tony Soprano, the end of Goodfellas. Because that's what witness protection was designed to do, is take down the mob. And for years, that's what happened. It worked. Mobsters were the biggest group in witness protection, testifying against each other. But it's not like crime went away, Shelley. What happens is new criminals took their place. So for a while, the biggest group in witness protection were then gang members, because that's who took over. After 9/11, we started chasing terrorists. So terrorists were a huge group in witness protection. You want to know one of the biggest groups in witness protection right now? Mm. Accountants. Accountants, because we live in a world of data. Information's king. And so I promise when you read The Viper, you will never look at witness protection the same way again.
Let's talk about how you share insights about America's most, what, secretive funeral home?
Yeah, you know, I do a lot of work with the USO, entertaining our troops all across the world. And it was there, I never knew what Dover Air Force Base was, never heard of it. You know Dover, even if you don't even think you know it, because when a soldier's killed in action and that flag-covered coffin comes off the plane and everyone salutes, that's Dover. Dover's also where, when the space shuttle exploded, the astronauts' bodies went to Dover. It's where, on 9/11, all the Pentagon victims' bodies went. And in fact, right now, everything that's going on in Venezuela, we have CIA people hiding there and working for us and agents there. If anything goes sideways, all of our super spies, their bodies go to Dover too, which means Dover's a place filled with secrets. It's America's most secretive funeral home. And the morticians there will rewire someone's jaw, smoothing it over with clay because a mother wants to see their son one last time. Rebuild someone's hand because a mother says, "I want to hold my child's hand one last time." And it's an incredible place. And obviously, you won't believe what goes on inside this funeral home, but you'll see in The Viper.
That is the title, again, of your latest Emmy-nominated number one New York Times bestselling author, Michigan grad, Brad Meltzer, on the line. I know you're on tour. Very busy you are. Lastly, my friend Brad, do you take on the crisis of veteran mental health?
We do, and this is a personal one for me. You know, what I found out when I was there is that since 9/11, you are four times more likely to die by suicide in the military than during combat, which means for 30,000 troops, that's as far as they run. And it was important for me to talk about that. That's how you deal with that problem, is to let those troops out there know they're not alone. But it's also a personal issue for me, and you'll see my own struggles that I'm trying to figure out myself. You know, there's the book opens with a quote, and the quote says, "I don't believe in closure. I'm not sure we ever really get over anything." It's the last thing I found that I put into the Viper, but it hit me, and it hit me personally, Shelley, because, you know, there's a line in the book at the end about something called pentimento, and pentimento is a painting term. It's when paint gets old and dry, it becomes transparent, and you can start to see through the paint. You can see the artist's original sketches and pencil work and charcoal work underneath on the canvas. You can see the rough draft with all the mistakes and all the regrets. And it made me realize, you know, a tree that's facing one way is suddenly facing another. Go look at an old Da Vinci. You'll see it when you're in a museum. You can see, you're like, oh, there are the old lines. But it made me realize that that's what all of our lives are like. We all of us have past versions of ourselves, old versions of our lives where we have regrets, we have mistakes, we have things we wish we could take back. But I got to tell you, that to me is, they may be regrets, they may be mistakes, but you can't make a masterpiece without them. And to me, closure is overrated. What I learned while writing The Viper is you have to love yourself for who you are. All the regrets, all the mistakes, as well as all the good parts. That's the secret of life. And for my main character, Zig, and my female character, Nola, she's like the girl with the dragon tattoo. So if you like that book, you'll like The Viper. That was the real lesson I was pulling out of it, is accepting yourself for who you are.
Yes. Well, Brad Meltzer, thank you for that testimony. The perfect book to meet Zig and Nola, thanks to one of your reviewers. It is a Zig and Nola novel. And lastly, Brad, your first thriller in 4 years. Was it fun to kind of put this hat back on?
The fact that I took so much time, it really was. I spoke to you a lot about the kids' books and other things we do, but there's nothing like a thriller to me. And I think it's because it's where I'm most honest. You know, I had a complicated relationship with my parents, especially my dad. I buried my mom. I buried my dad. I spent a lot of books writing about them, trying to get over their deaths. And what I finally realized, Shelley, is I was like, I got to get over it. I realized I'm never going to get over it. And I know that every person listening right now, we all have someone who we wish could be here today. And when you lose someone deep in your soul that you love so dearly, you never get over it. The only thing you can do is transform. You become something stronger, weak in some ways, weaker in some ways, stronger in some ways. And the Viper, for me, coming back and putting that hat back on again, let me deal with that next level after burying my parents, was finding forgiveness for my dad. That's why the Viper is my most personal book, is I finally started to forgive him for some of the stuff he caused me. And man, that's a gift. I know the Viper, we want it to be a gift for people that they give to their friends, but that was the ultimate gift for me.
The Viper. How do we find out more information about your latest work and all of your work, Brad?
Well, you can just find me on bradmeltzer.com, and you can find The Viper in your independent bookstore on Amazon. They have it on sale right now, Barnes & Noble, of course, anywhere books are sold. And again, if you need a good birthday present or something for your mother-in-law, father-in-law, or anyone, that's the book for you.
Or even yourself. There we are. Brad, we'll talk again. Thank you.
Can't wait.
Ladies in the house to discuss a very important event on January 15th. As I put my coat on, we're going Facebook Live here. I'll get out of the way so your faces can be seen on my personal page. January 15th, Arbor Circle will host its fifth annual Growing Together event at Wealthy Theater. Let's talk about it. Taylor Greenfield, Director of Development. A pleasure. Good morning to you, Taylor.
Good morning.
Enid Gaddis, you doing great things with Arbor Circle, Director of Equity and Inclusion. Good morning to you, Enid.
Good morning.
Appreciate you. Taylor Greenfield, remind us of the good work of Arbor Circle.
Absolutely. Arbor Circle is a West Michigan-based nonprofit. We provide mental health, substance use, and family supportive services across West Michigan. We serve approximately 12,000 individuals and families every year. We have services both in our office spaces. We have 5 physical office spaces across several counties in West Michigan, and we're also out in the community. Schools, community centers, our staff are in our clients' homes. We are all over the place and excited to do it.
How important is your role?
I get to be the fundraiser, so I get to have a lot of fun, and part of my favorite part of my job is being here with folks like you, Shelley, and spreading the word, and then also chatting with folks who support our work and love what we do.
Enid, how important is your role, Director of Equity and Inclusion?
Well, I see my role as being a champion for making sure both our clients and our staff have the support and resources that they need to do their jobs well. And for our clients, making sure that if there's barriers related to them being able to access services that impact their healing, that we're doing our best to eliminate those barriers.
What's happening January 15th? I'll start with you, Taylor.
We are so excited to host our 5th annual Growing Together event, January 15th, starting at 6 p.m. at Wealthy Theater. We've been there for a few years. This in-person event brings folks together, have a little popcorn, and this year we're going to be focused on social determinants of health, specifically housing. We have Eureka People, President of Housing Kent, coming in to do a keynote with us, which is very exciting. And then we'll also have a panel discussion with one of our staff who does Youth Supportive Housing, Bill Larzelier and Enid. Mm-hmm. And we'll just kind of be chatting through some of the things that are impacting our community, specifically in the housing space.
What would be a couple of those themes, if you would, Enid?
A couple of the themes that we'll be touching on is just the impact of increasing rental costs and how many folks in our community are cost burdened as it relates to being able to afford rents. And then also how wages and income is not keeping up with the cost of housing, and housing, access to affordable housing impacts quality of life, as well as access to be able to afford home ownership can impact generational wealth and resources that families have available to them.
Remind me, Taylor, who's on the panel?
So it's going to be Enid Gaddis, mm-hmm. Eureka People, and then Bill Larzelier, who is our Youth Supportive Housing guru.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. And obviously you'll take questions from the audience, Enid?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. Growing Together, talk about the theme and where we're going with that, Taylor.
Yeah, so Growing Together is our event that commemorates the Martin Luther King Jr. Day holiday. So for the last several years, we've gotten together and created a space for us to come together as an organization and as a community, share about what Arbor Circle does, but also hear from experts on things that are happening out there that are impacting the individuals that we serve and our broader community at large. We've had a variety of themes over the years that have been really exciting to hear from those experts, including other social determinants of health related things, mental health and activism, just all over the place. And it's been great to hear from folks and to learn more.
Yes, but it's nice to zone in, obviously, on one important item. And, of course, mm-hmm. this year, housing access gets the thumbs up.
Yes.
What else do you expect to hear from Eureka People, President of Housing Kent, please, Enid?
I think what we're going to hear from Eureka is just the climate for housing in West Michigan, Kent County specifically, I should say, and also the things that are going on to address the housing gaps in our community, and then just some of the barriers that still exist that as a community we need to band together to resolve, and the impact. These aren't just data points. These are real human beings that are impacted by the disparities in our community as it relates to housing. So we'll hear what that impact is and how it affects other, like I said earlier, the quality of life in general for folks if housing is a challenge.
I ask this question often, Taylor. Who needs to be in the audience on the 15th?
We would love to have anyone who's interested in this topic. We would love to see some of our Kent County and Grand Rapids leaders join us mm-hmm. to learn more about these subjects. Certainly anyone in the nonprofit space and anyone looking to support this particular issue and learn more about the things that they potentially can do. Arbor Circle has a variety of youth supportive services programs, including The Bridge, which is our shelter for youth experiencing homelessness. We have rapid rehousing, things that, you know, youth are certainly eligible for, but that are in jeopardy and that need our support and our advocacy, especially in this time where things are certainly up in the air all over the place. So just folks who are wanting to learn more about those things, not just from the perspective of Arbor Circle, but from several different community partners.
Yes, again, Arbor Circle. The 5th Annual Growing Together event, examining housing access, equity, and community well-being through the lens of the MLK Jr.'s legacy. Again, January 15th, Enid Gaddis and Taylor Greenfield with us. Will I walk away with actionable items, Enid?
I feel like the conversation will ignite for individuals what ways that they might want to get involved, ways they want to learn more, and certainly they're here about our services and may wish to get connected with those as well. I also want to highlight that the event is free. So,
Do I have to pay for my popcorn, though?
You do have to pay for your
just because nothing's free.
No.
And we want to support.
Yes, you know, that caveat. Thank
we
you.
We want to support Wealthy Theater as well.
Yes.
But knowing that you're right, this is accessible. And it is free if you don't want popcorn, if we really want to get into the depths. What do you leave us with, Enid Gaddis?
We just invite the community to come out and be a part of the conversation as a way to commemorate the legacy of MLK. And then also to learn more about this very important issue.
Great. Details one more time, Taylor.
Sure. It is next week, January 15th, starting at 6 p.m. at Wealthy Theater. We would love to have you register. It's certainly not required, but we certainly love to know that you're coming. And you can do that at arborcircle.org/grow.
Get involved. You said you'd do it in this 2026. Mm-hmm. Now is time to support your community. Enid and Taylor, thank you. Have fun a week from today.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Roving microphone visit on the grounds of the Grand Rapids Rise. That's your women's professional volleyball team right here in Grand Rapids. Season number 3 returning away in Orlando this Friday, but home next week. So let's remind you how they start their season in prep for the game's opener and, of course, season 3.
Kathy George, head volleyball coach, Grand Rapids Rise.
What's it look like to practice day one?
Oh, you know, you're never sure what day one's going to look like. I'm pretty pleased right now. A little rusty, but definitely see a lot of hope and, you know, some talent here for sure.
So how do you prepare for, well, the first day of practice?
Well, you know, you're really trying to bring them into setting a foundation. What are you doing day one? How do you set the foundation? We build upon it as we see that we need to. But you're getting them to kind of be familiar with each other, the systems, the coaches, everything that's brand new.
Especially the head coach, that's for sure. What do we? How do you know who plays with who? Practice day number one.
Right now, day one, we're just throwing them all in. They're interacting quite a bit. We have no decisions, you know, that we have made, and that's what pre-training camp is for. So kind of really see who's stepping up, who's doing things that we're going to need them to do.
And you're just coming off a draft.
Absolutely. I know that was chaos, too. That was just about a week ago. And so you're really sorting all that out. You have your free agents already, which are all the people that are here today. Our draftees won't join until they're done with the NCAA tournament. So we'll start to add them and pepper them in as we go from there.
And there has to be a decision of a roster in the end, right?
Yeah, we've got to get to 16 players, and we'll be at 17. So it'll be shorter, smaller type of thing. But we are definitely looking to find the players that, you know, do, you know, really play hard, who play to win, who cooperate well with people, who make us better in everything that they do.
And how much does getting fit count these days?
Well, the expectation is they are coming in fit because it is a fast-paced game, and you've got to go fast-paced for 2.5 hours, and, you know, so that's got to be endurance and also quick twitch and, you know, anaerobic, aerobic, both of them. So, you know, it's very important.
How's the season look?
It's great. We're the schedule starts up in January, so we're going to be back here on January 12th for a home opener, and, you know, we'll already have played 2 games by that time, and so we're excited about, you know, what that looks like and getting all these players to experience the Grand Rapids crowds.
Yeah. How is exciting is this for you going into year number 3?
Well, you know, it's exciting in the sense that the league has just continued to grow. Next year we'll be at 11 teams. This year we're at 8. People are taking notice, and they really are getting behind these professional women and what they're doing.
Okay. Your team is calling your name.
Okay. I'll see you later.
Carly Snyder, outside hitter, Grand Rapids Rise.
Are you ready for another season?
I am. I'm so excited. We have a pretty long off season, so by the time October and November comes around, you're really itching to get back in the gym, and I'm just so excited. We have a great group. Today was a really good start, so really optimistic about this year.
Define a great group.
Yeah, I just think we have a lot of effort. You know, you can't imagine to play your best volleyball of the year day one, but you can have other intangibles, effort, communication, the want to be in the gym, and I think this group really has that. We could see it even from the team meeting in the locker room, so it's great to play.
There have to be good and other jitters for practice of day one. Excitement, I hope.
Of course. I think, you know, someone asked me if I still get nervous, and I was like, if you're not getting nervous, you're really not doing the thing you should be doing. So I really care about being here. I think we all really care about wearing Grand Rapids across our jerseys. So, of course, there's some jitters, but like I said, I think it's a good thing. So it means we care.
What's it like having new faces, knowing the journey that they're going to take with you?
Yeah, it's so exciting. And I think the volleyball world is small, so you've seen people around, you've played
against watching.
And yeah, we've been watching. We scout against a lot of these players, so it's just really exciting to get to see them on a day-to-day and put the face with the name, with the personality on the court and stuff for a lot of the players that we're seeing.
And what's the key to another successful year this year?
I think we just got to start trying to get better on day one. I know it's not, you know, everyone's shaking off some rust, but I think just the want to improve even in the very beginning is so important.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you. It's nice to see you.
My name is Ramal Alassan, and I'm a middle blocker.
All right. Tell me about your history in this world of volleyball.
Yeah, I started volleyball at a really young age. I started at 15, ended up committing to Florida, played there all 4 years with actually number 4, Carly Snyder. So really excited to be reunited with her, playing on the same side of the court. After that, I went on to play professionally for 5 years. I played 1 year in Japan, and the next 4 were in Italy, and then I did take a little mini break. So, yeah.
And why Rise?
A couple reasons. Previously, before when the inaugural season was going to start, I was in conversations with Kathy. Just a lot of things physically didn't work out for me, and I just made a decision to retire. And so it made sense that the first team coming back, that it should be the Rise. And then, of course, the added bonus is always going to be, like, I get to play with my friend again. So,
what's it going to take to make this season big for you, personally?
For me? I think just, one, like, return to play, right? And just being a, you know, reaching that level that I kind of was at before, but also, again, just being able to go out and compete with these girls. It's day one, but I feel like that we're going to be a really good team, and just the connections already that are starting to form has been exciting to see, like, the glimpses of it, so I'm really excited for the end.
And besides, obviously, the strategy of volleyball, you're going to pump some iron?
Of course. I mean, I love the weight room, so I'm right here to get strong.
Dave Getzoff, athletic trainer.
How important is your job for the Rise?
I would like to say that my job is very important. I also kind of like to stay a little bit behind the scenes. A lot of what I do is in the athletic training room, keeping the players healthy, keeping them prepped and warmed up, helping with recovery, so that way when they're on the court practicing, on the court during games, I can kind of stay back and let them do what they're meant to be doing.
Do you have a file on each player and know pretty much what she needs to do to maximize herself?
There's a few files on each player, for sure. There's the regular medical files, which has their medical histories and current injuries and issues that they may be dealing with. I also have my other stuff that we kind of go through with regards to kind of things that they need to do to stay healthy with range of motion, different preparation routines, recovery routines that they like to do. And also have my little mental file of knowing how players' bodies move. So that way, when I see them moving during games and during practices, if something kind of throws up a little red flag that doesn't look right, I have that kind of mental file, which helps me kind of speak to them on what might be going on.
What are the most necessary muscle groups to work out during for a volleyball star?
I think one of the amazing things about these athletes is they're all elite athletes. They're all great at what they do. It's a full body movement. It's hard to say what's more important than anything else. I would say it all starts with their lower body coming from the hips and then just transmitting force through the floor. Chronic injuries kind of tend to be a little more common for them in the lower body, but as long as our hips and low back are moving really well, we kind of keep that kinetic chain, kind of that functional movement going in the right direction.
How important is rest?
Rest is, I think, one of the most underrated treatments that you have, right? I think when our players have a very long season, you know, they play 2-3 games once things start every week. Kind of really maximizing the rest time that they have, but active rest, of course, is very important for them, making sure that we get to a point where they're not too tired to come back from. So we try and plan some good rest and recovery throughout the entire season before they need it.
And how much does nutrition matter?
Nutrition, again, is very underrated. We're very lucky that we have some really healthy young athletes here. Doesn't take a ton of education to explain to them what they need to be doing, what they need to be eating. But one thing we do is we do a lot of blood work. We do a lot of special assessments that will help them kind of fine-tune maybe the things that might be missing. And for females, there are a lot of things that kind of unfortunately in the general population that's not covered as well. A lot of this stuff is done on males. So for us, we like to really kind of fine-tune some things and get some female-specific stuff for them going. And
always have a Band-Aid in your pocket.
Always have some gauze and gloves. Yep.
I'm Shelley Irwin. Let's continue a conversation that has to do with winning. How about the Grand Rapids Promise Zone and Grand Rapids Chamber launching a careers pathway partnership? Because you want to win in your career. A pleasure to have you in the house, Director of Promise Zone, the Promise Zone, Ashley Mishler. Good morning to you, Ashley.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Andy Johnston, on behalf of the Grand Rapids Chamber of Commerce. Have you run this morning?
I did. Good morning, Shelley.
Why do I ask that?
Why do you ask that? Because I've run every day for over a year outside.
That isn't, you know, nothing. I mean, I'm going to ask you the same thing, Ashley, but that's pretty cool. Is that something?
Yeah, I heard about it from a colleague that they had a friend that did it. I said, I could do that. And yeah.
Okay. Well, again, you are your own fodder for that personal interview. But I digress. Ashley, what do we need to know about you that we might not know?
I do not run regularly.
Hey. Maybe there's another secret you want to share?
Maybe Andy will be my inspiration to start running.
Well, I mean, you know, exercise, however you get it, it just, I feel like it makes you a better, you know, husband, you know, friend, colleague, all those things. And so it really, really helps. I like to do it in the morning.
Good. All right. There we are. So some of us need a couple cups of coffee and look at Andy. I'll get mine in soon. Thank you both for being here to talk about this wonderful strategic partnership. Remind me of the good work of the Promise Zone, Ashley.
Yeah, the Grand Rapids Promise Zone is here to help our students attend college and receive that post high school education for free.
Who is considered our students?
Any student who lives within the city of Grand Rapids and attends one of our 25 eligible high schools in the city.
Nice. What is the purpose of the Grand Rapids Chamber of Commerce, which has a great lunch coming up the end of the month?
Yeah, annual meeting's coming up. There's over 1,000 people registered. Just go to grandrapids.org today and get your seat. But, you know, one of the chamber's superpowers is convening and connecting. And we exist to connect business needs with community needs. And this Career Pathways partnership with the Promise Zone is a great example of that. Our employers, you know, talent's been a big issue. This is a great way to strengthen our talent pipeline in West Michigan.
Staying with you, Andy, Career Pathways, what is the goal from your end?
The goal is to show students what they're studying will translate into real-world opportunity and rewarding careers. Somebody once told me, be careful of the first job you take out of college because that could turn into a career. Well, we want to show students, Promise Zone students, that you know what they're studying in health or business or technology, this is how other people have done it, and this is what it's going to turn into because we really want to see these Promise students get through to completion and get their degrees.
Yes. The winter programming, winter semester to kick off this month. Ashley, how does it work?
Yeah, so the Chamber has opened up lots of different opportunities for our students to connect, network, and explore different careers here in the Grand Rapids area. So Andy had mentioned the annual meeting here at the end of the month, and the Chamber has opened up seats for our students to attend. So being able to see, you know, Grand Rapids business in real life, hear about what's going on in our city, but also network and connect to help, you know, their networks. We also have a Health Cares Roundtable coming up for our students, where students can meet with our local employers and people who are in those roles to learn firsthand what it's like in those different careers.
Yeah, we want these students to feel comfortable walking into these professional spaces, understanding what's expected of them, and then meeting people who have done it. We have members who went to CC, maybe they got a corporate job out of that, and now they've started their own business. So maybe those folks can turn into not just speakers for these students, but maybe mentors and guides along their journey.
Yes, and bring in GRCC, because this is part of the product here.
Yes, so our Promise Zone students who are eligible can receive an associate degree or one of our job training programs for free. And then we have most recently also partnered with both Ferris and Grand Valley, so our students can then transfer on and receive financial support after they earn that associate degree at either of those two great institutions as well.
Ashley, are you removing financial barriers as much as possible here?
We sure are. We're, you know, not only just tuition and fees, but our students who are attending at GRCC are receiving additional funds for textbooks and school supplies, but also on-campus expenses such as parking and food and printing, because we know all of those expenses contribute to a student's success.
Yeah, and as you know, speaking of success, you know, for listeners out there, if your business has these career exploration opportunities, whether they're internships or otherwise, please let the Chamber know so we can make these connections. This partnership is really a win for employers and students in the whole region as we strengthen our talent pipeline.
So getting more into that comment, Andy, are you looking at this partnership between an employer and a student, a job shadow, an internship? How does
shadow, an internship? Things you expect to see from entry-level employees, you know, coming out of the higher ed system, all that kind of information is going to be very helpful. One of the things as we were exploring this partnership is we could do a better job of coalescing some of these opportunities for students, and I think that's going to be one of the great outcomes of this partnership.
Is there still a chance, Ashley, for more schools to get involved, or are you pretty much that ship is sailing?
You know, we're always looking for additional partnerships. Right now, all of those things have to go through our board. But yeah, we are always looking for new partners and ways to expand our networks for our students.
Yes. How does one get into the career you're in, Andy?
Really easy, grandrapids.org, or me at andy@grandrapids.org. And again, Chamber Superpowers being able to connect you. So we're happy to do that.
Promise Zone and Grand Rapids Area Chamber of Commerce again presenting this launch of the Career Pathways Partnership. Andy, with the involvement of an employer, what's a time commitment here?
A time commitment could be everything from, you know, participating in one of these roundtables, maybe for an hour out of your day, to just giving us the information, to hosting an internship, to giving us some career exploration. We're also looking for people that can help with, and we have some already, but we're always looking for more of, how do you put together a strong resume? How do you help with maybe, you know, career skills that are really important? So if you have those at your company, or you're a leader in the community that wants to lean into this work, please let us know.
Yes, putting you on the spot, Ashley, do you know which careers we're being interested in these days?
Yeah, we have lots of students who are interested in business, entrepreneurship, healthcare. Mm-hmm. But we also know that within those larger career pathways, there's lots of different opportunities that a lot of students don't know about, right? You know, lots of people know about doctors and nurses, but what about some of our other specialty healthcare career paths that are here, right here in our city? So we're looking for, you know, to provide students with those opportunities to explore different pathways.
And with Explore, one of the things I love so much about the Chamber is as a staff, I get to do the How It's Made tour, right? Like, and tour these great businesses doing wonderful things. The first time I saw, you know, plastic injection molding, I was like, oh my gosh, this is like magic. If you're, that's another way folks out there listening can get involved. If you want to do a tour and maybe have some students come see how It's Made paid tour or how you do what you do, that's another great way to, when we talk about exploration, to connect students to what's possible and what these careers really look like.
Well, WGVU could probably give you a tour of how the sausage is made.
Okay,
here.
So we have Shelley signing up. So that's great. I think that works well.
There's some truth to that. Why entitled The Promise Zone?
We want to make sure that our students, our Grand Rapids students, know that we're here. We are that promise that we will help them on their educational path post high school.
What else do we need to know, Andy Johnston?
I think one of the things with this partnership is that, you know, these students aren't lacking ambition. Some of them just have a lack of access to networks and exposure. Not everybody has the parent who's like hyper engaged and getting you an internship and forcing you to do these things. We have a lot of students out there. So we're hoping that this partnership can remove more of these barriers for more students. And again, there's a lot of opportunity to get engaged.
Right. Just do it. One more time, your website is?
GrandRapids.org.
Full day on your plate?
Always.
Good.
If I'm not busy, I'm doing my job wrong, Shelley. And part of that, it really is serving the business community, individual member needs, and then initiatives like this that are going to, again, partner business with community needs to make a real difference.
Wonderful. Well, you personally celebrating 20 years. I look forward to a conversation 20 years from now.
And 20 years.
Still alive.
But 20 years from now is like, I know I got a get to job, not a got to job. And I want more students to have that feeling, because we spend so much time at work, and when you have that feeling, like, that's such a great thing. Meaningful work is one of the most important things a human can have, and so this partnership with higher ed and business, that's what we, at the end of the day, that's what it's about.
Ashley, you want to second that?
Absolutely. Love what you do.
Tell me how to find out more about the awesome Grand Rapids Promise Zone, please.
Yeah, you can visit us at grpromisezone.com.
Thanks, all. Good luck.
Thank you.
Hit the slopes, as they say. Let's talk with those on behalf of the Michigan Snow Sports Industries Association. Yes, in the next day, your snow may melt, and then it will come back. And I'm sure that is exciting for my guest, Executive Director of the Michigan Snow Sports Industries Association, Mike Hanich. Good morning to you, Mike.
Good morning to you, too, Shelley.
Are you a downhiller, a cross-country skier, a snowboarder? What's your niche? And you'll probably say all.
I do a little bit of everything, but I am primarily a downhill skier, but enjoy all winter sports.
Thank you. Michigan Snow Sports Industries Association, what are you all about?
What we're all about is advocating for the ski industry in the state of Michigan to promote and watch out for our ski resorts and ski shops and make sure that we're growing the sport. We work with people across the state, with all of our industry partners to promote skiing and snowboarding and get people out there and enjoying winter.
Great. January is National Ski Safety Awareness Month. The reason why we talk, of course, Michigan skiers and snowboarders encouraged to know and follow your responsibility code. What is this code?
That's right. The Your Responsibility Code is your code of conduct for being out on the slopes and any place that you're skiing, but in particular in Michigan. We like to promote safety, and this standard, the Your Responsibility Code, has recently been updated. There are now 10 rules, and those are the main ways to keep everybody safe on our slopes.
Good. Let's talk about a few of the rules, because we do want to stay safe and we want to keep others staying safe to not hit me on the downhill, as they say. You ask us always to stay in control. Expand.
That's right. Always stay in control and be able to stop, avoid other people and objects, to always pay attention. I mean, it really comes down to common sense. And making sure you're aware of your surroundings, looking out for others, and making sure others are looking out for you. The downhill skier is always has the right of way. So if you're down below somebody, the uphill skier needs to be looking for you. We recommend that people wear helmets. It's not a requirement, but it's always smart to be safe. And then it's just a general code of conduct to make sure people are not doing the wrong things. One of the bigger thing that's been added is to not use lifts or terrain when impaired by alcohol or drugs. That is a big problem, obviously, if people are skiing impaired. We want to avoid collisions, and we want people to know that après ski is very fun, but après means after. It's time to enjoy the slopes without drinking, and then enjoy something in the bar afterwards and tell stories of your day.
Thank you for that reality. You ask us to prevent runaway equipment. I think we all know what that means, but what's it mean?
Well, what that means is, and I've seen it happen before, snowboard or a ski, somebody crashes and it takes off down the hill. So there are devices that are attached to skis, and snowboards need a leash that would go up around your ankle or something. So if you were to drop it or have it release on you, it doesn't torpedo down the hill and take somebody out. That would be the biggest risk there. And then on the flip side, it helps you once you crash that your ski or snowboard will be near you. You won't have to hike all the way down the hill to get it. Because gravity is real and it never fails.
You bet. Some things in life won't ever go away. You remind us to keep off closed trails and out of closed areas. Sounds like a no-brainer, but sometimes we sneak into these areas.
That's right. I mean, sometimes there's a reason that a hill's closed. Either there's snowmaking or there's unknown obstacles underneath, or for whatever reason the operator has decided that that trail isn't worthy of being open. So we need to respect those boundaries and not do it, even if the temptation of skiing some fresh powder exists, that there's a reason that it's closed. And once you cross that line, you are you're taking your risk and your liability completely in your own hands, and it's a good way to get your lift ticket revoked. So definitely don't recommend going off of the marked trails or into closed terrain.
Michigan Snow Sports Industries Association, trade association representing our Michigan ski and snowboard industry, speaking with Executive Director Mike Panish. Again, our responsibility codes, learning the etiquette needed. You, again, a lot of these are basic, but read and obey all signs, warnings, and hazard markings, which you mentioned just a minute ago. What about if I'm involved in a collision or incident? What's the etiquette here?
The best thing to do is to make sure that you stop, you speak with the person that that you had a collision with, or with somebody of authority at the resort. Maybe speak with a lift operator, ski patroller, but make sure that you share contact information if there are injuries. If everybody agrees everything's okay, move on and carry on with your day. But if somebody's been hurt or it's been a serious collision, it's always a good idea to exchange information so everybody can be safe and that responsibility is taken by all individuals.
What else is needed when it comes to following your responsibility code, Mike?
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, what else? Anything we've missed? I stop only when you are visible. And, of course, learning how to just get on the lift is part of the necessity, too, I trust.
Absolutely. I think the first step is to make sure you know what you're doing. A lot of people don't like to take responsibility for themselves, but where you've opted to take an adventure and go out skiing or snowboarding, if you haven't done it before, take a lesson, be responsible, learn some skills, know your ability, and don't go for something that you know you can't handle. So like I said in the beginning of the interview, it's important to know your limits, to follow common sense, and to just be safe out there, not only for yourself, but for everybody else that's out enjoying the slopes. Because
yes.
Nobody wants to ruin a good day of skiing.
No on that. How are we thus far here, January 8th, enjoying our skiing? Are we out and about? Has the weather been in our favor?
The weather has been fantastic for all Michigan skiers this year. Yes, we've had a few ups and downs. The temperatures have gone up a couple times right there around Christmas week, and we're right back into another pattern similar the next couple days. But it looks like the snow starts to come back Saturday. All of our operators are reporting a fantastic Christmas season, holiday season. And I think Michigan has kind of won the lottery as far as snowfall this year compared to most other regions of skiing. So get out there, enjoy it, and have a great time on your pure Michigan slopes.
Wonderful. How do I find out more information about this conversation and more, Mike?
Check out GoSkiMichigan.com. That's our website. It explains all of our programs, like our Cold is Cool 4th and 5th grade passports, where skiers in 4th and 5th grade ski for only $30 up at three different 3 days up to 3 days at each location. And you can learn more about that program there. You can learn about some safety facts and visit our page about your responsibility code and learn more about ski safety there.
I trust it's never too late to learn to ski?
Absolutely not. I actually skied with somebody that was 76 years old and they hadn't skied since they were about 12 years old. So they were basically a never ever, and they were loving it and couldn't believe they put it off for so long. So, yes, it's never too late. Get out there, ski, enjoy yourself. We've got family-friendly slopes in Michigan and lots of good opportunities to get out there and ski.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mike. We'll talk again. Mike Panich on behalf of the wonderful Michigan Snow Sports Industries Association. Enjoy your winter season.
Thank you for having us. Yep.
Your inspiration for the day, according to Alice Walker, no person is your friend who demands your silence or denies your right to grow. That's a little heavy, but it's good to have a friend in that manner. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Shelley Irwin. Have a great day.